And with that, welcome to the new season of the Baggy Blues podcast. We are back for another year. We know you're excited, so are we. So let's get straight into it. You know who we are. We know who you are. Let's just chat some shit about Long Parish. First of all, on a serious note, thank you very much for all your fan mail you've been sending into the email at baggy.blues@gmail.com. We've really appreciated reading all your letters and just everyone getting in touch saying how much they've missed us. And, you know, we've missed you as well. So it's nice. And thanks for everyone who's been sending in stuff into the PO box at the Cricketers. We've been getting through from that. A lot of sort of just gifts, really. You know, it's just nice to know that your listeners care. So how are we doing, boys? I'll throw it to you two. Spear?
Yeah, all good, thanks. Obviously, been out here in Mumbai over the winter. I just want to pick up on what you said there. You know, overwhelmed, really, with the amount of people that wrote in and sent messages. I got loads of WhatsApps and stuff saying, you know, when's the pod coming back? You're going to do a second series and that sort of thing. So that's been really good. But yeah, just from a personal point of view, out in Mumbai, been playing quite a lot of cricket from time to time with my club out here. Play about once every 2 or 3 weeks or so, which is an amazing experience. We've been on a few tours and stuff like that. But I'm very much looking forward to getting back to England and playing a few games at the Furnace in a couple of months' time.
Lovely stuff. I've had sort of a cricket-free winter, I have to admit. My cricket's been restricted just watching the Ashes on TV and a bit of the West Indies series. I haven't touched a cricket ball or cricket bat since the last day of the season. So it will be an interesting start when I do finally return. But I've been offered a game for Melbourne Threes in the Derbyshire League by one of my lecturers who seems keen for me to play. So I might have a run out there as a little warm-up before I return.
Just tell him that you'll play as a stick.
I think it's quite low standard. He said it's the Derbyshire Ninth League.
Fucking hell.
Which is I don't think they have like SPL and that. So I think that's like.
Calvary. Yeah, that could be grim, mate. That could be grim.
Could be grim. They said they got promoted last year as well, so it really could be grim.
League below that.
Diesel, what have you been up to?
So still on the teacher journey. Just recently secured my first job in teaching, which is good. And sort of. Cheers, Brim. And sort of alongside that, my main, well, the thing that's sort of keeping me in the loop with cricket is indoor cricket. So again, we've been playing at Dummer, playing at Winchester, still got 3 games to go in the Winchester League, which is good. But yeah, we did well at Dummer, finishing second, I think, which is really good. Good team. So yeah, sort of keeping the cricket juices flowing, although we had our first indoor net on Monday, or Tuesday rather, and in those nets it was ridiculous. I mean, obviously we had Ben there, Joe Brown there, shoulder height or higher, really.
Good preparation for a sticky dog, isn't that?
Yeah, and they chose that time to sort of experiment bowling with a new ball, which was also nice. So firing rockets down. Geordie was swatting him away from his nose for the most time, getting hit but not moving an inch.
Love that.
Which we love to see. But yeah, that's I've been keeping going over the winter as much as I can.
Were you at the unpacking of the ground, Diesel?
I was not, unfortunately.
All right. Have you heard? How did that go? Do you know anything?
Well, by all accounts, from what I've heard from Ben and Rory, lots of things got done. Lots of people there. Some pretty rogue appearances from some, but
any name?
Yeah, I think it was a good turnout.
They won't be listening.
Jarnold was there. To be expected, really.
Yeah,
but
it's funny with that day, because it's a good one, isn't it, for just getting, you know, getting everyone back together, because quite often you've literally spent 6-7 months not only like away from each other, we don't even talk to anyone, do we?
They are seasonal friends, aren't they?
Last day of the season, that's it. Everyone goes off their separate ways. You don't see or hear from anyone, really. Like the WhatsApp group ticks over, but you don't really like meet up and stuff. Then it, so the putting out the benches day is quite a good one. And people have like carved out nice little niches, haven't they? Like, I know Clarkie always cleans the showers. Yeah. He loves that. So people like Sav, you know, love putting the nets up. And everybody, you know, painting the benches and stuff. So, yeah, it's a good one just for getting getting people back together.
Mm-hmm. For the community spirit as well around the club, I think.
Yeah.
So, Spear, obviously, now that you're out in India, you don't get the chance to sort of have a go at the indoor game. But when you were here, what were your favourite sort of memories and sort of thoughts on it?
Well, I always loved playing indoor cricket. Thought it was like, it's basically like, you know, it's like playing five-a-side football, isn't it? To keep me ticking over. Always thought it was good fun. I like the difference in like venue between Winchester and Dunmont. Maybe we can talk a little bit at the end, like about which one we prefer, which one's better for batting or bowling or something like that. And also, the thing I like most about indoor cricket is the way that it like allows some people to shine in a slightly different way. So you got like, you know, Blackie's like an amazing indoor bowler. Wouldn't bowl outdoors. I know he used to back in the day, but indoors he's still a really good bowler. Dan Pomeroy, amazing indoor wicketkeeper. You know, rarely see him keep outdoors, but indoors he can like stand up to anything, sharp as anything. Areas, unbelievable indoor stick. His indoor record is phenomenal. He's like absolutely guaranteed to get yourself a little 25 retired. Even against, you know, top quality bowling, whereas outdoors, you know, he's all right, but he's batting, you know, he's part of the lower order, isn't he? I think it's fair to say. So that's what I liked about indoor cricket. It just keeps your skills topped up throughout the winter, especially at Dummer, like with the ball, you've got to be really accurate, otherwise, you know, you're punished. You can go for 9, can't you, at Dummer, if you get it wrong?
Yeah. No ball 6.
Yeah. They still doing that super over thing?
No, they got rid of that.
Yeah, house.
Well, they started the year with no ball line.
Really?
They just resurfaced it, and they didn't have a no ball line, which was ridiculous. It is again so bouncy in there. I think it took. Well, we never played without one. I think it took one game of fixtures for there to be complaints, and then it got.
You got ball in.
Unsurprisingly,
you got. Dumber's what, like a third, like three quarters of the way up, or two thirds of the way up.
Yeah.
And that's a big difference at Winchester. You can genuinely dig it in at Winchester, can't you?
Yeah.
Because it's halfway.
Again, Winchester, new venue. It's not not a River Park anymore.
Oh, right.
They've built basically a new River Park. But even bigger now. It's massive in there. But very obviously, I haven't fielded on it, but very, very difficult to field on.
In what way? Is it a cricket facility or is it a multi-purpose?
It's multi-purpose.
Yeah,
but it's again like the floor is ridiculously shiny. And it's difficult to pick up. Obviously, you get your fingers underneath a ball along the ground that's hit hard and
blood blisters.
And yeah, it's just massive. You can chase anything in there, really. But yeah, still good. Lots of room.
Yeah, I always preferred Dummer because of the issues picking up. I used to hate picking up the ball at Winchester.
Yeah. I've always preferred Dummer.
Yeah. I didn't mind that, like the no ball line was a bit, if you ask me, it was too close to the batsman. Could do a bit.
You say that, but anything short of it is it's ridiculous.
Yeah, but the box you could actually like land a delivery in without being driven back past you was so small. Like, because if you like slightly over pitch it, they're just going to try and hit it. They'll just hit it for 6, and then if you're too short, they'll just take 3 and knock it into the wall as well.
And that's the game.
That's the game, and you've got to be good. You've got to be good. And I never really was. So Yeah, I don't mind indoor. Like, I've actually quite missed it since I've been at uni and not been able to play really, because it was a nice just to keep something ticking over throughout the winter, so you don't come back completely dry of any cricket. And
it's done in an hour.
Yeah,
that's the thing, right? It's quick. And the thing that I used to notice back, and I don't know if it's the same now, but people would turn up like 2 minutes before the game, and then. Like literally, as soon as the last ball was bowled, they'd be like in the car and going home.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, you know, outdoor Saturdays in the summer, it's a bit more of a sort of longer. Everyone stays around for a beer and stuff, chats about it after. But it's like a glorified net, isn't it? Really, indoors.
Yeah.
It's just it's
a completely different game. It's
yeah.
I remember Diesel when we used to play in that on Wednesday nights or Thursday nights. We used to play, I can't remember, but there used to be players who'd be like. People who'd come in who had never played like indoor cricket before. And I clearly remember this one guy just like booming these cover drives into the wall.
Was Rory at the start of the season. Worked it out, I think, now.
Yeah. Just remember soft standing hands, at like point. Yeah.
Soft hands. Let the ball hit the bat.
Yeah.
Ares used to use... He used to use a kid's bat, didn't he?
Did he?
Yeah, because he was like, it doesn't matter. You don't need like, you just need a light. You need a toothpick, basically, just to just let, like you said, let the ball hit the bat.
What's the point
of using a bat with any weight whatsoever, especially for him, like, because he's not gonna. Ares, if you're listening, mate, no offense, but he's not gonna drill you like down the ground for six. He might. It's not, but his game was to knock it into the wall and run, which is. The way to play the game, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'm just going to use like a little kid's bat. Why not? Just let the ball hit the bat into the wall. Three. Thanks very much.
Thanks for coming.
It's also just reminded me of, obviously, that's one sort of equipment modification that Ares has used, whereas Baz goes out with sort of his front pad and that's it. His front pad and a bat. That's all he needs. No gloves. No helmet, no back pad, no knee. Yeah.
Surely the one pad throws you off a bit by having one leg. Do you know what I mean? It's not like it's not equal. So surely,
I think even that's a hindrance for him. I think he'd rather not.
Right, do this then quickly. What's your like all time indoor six?
Oh wow. Okay. Right, so we've had a little think and we've come up with our dream indoor sixes. Well, I nearly said 11s then, but it's obviously not. Spear, do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. Not played indoors for a long time, but back in the day, played with some very good players. So my indoor six is Dan Pomeroy with the mitts, Arias, Mike, Scott, Will and Al.
You've
got batting covered. How many bowlers do you need in the four, don't you?
Yeah.
Your bowlers there would be Arias. A bit short of bowling, actually. But Arias, Scott and Al. And then the other overs had to be made up by Mike and Will. But that's a good side.
Okay, I've got... I've gone for a bit of a... Sort of team that I... Sort of team I played quite a lot with when I first joined Long Parish, really playing adult indoor stuff. So we got Diesel and Jamie opening, a dream opening pair indoors. Scotty at three, Jacko at four, and he's the skipper. Then we got the Brush, because the Brush used to be able to actually send them down indoor, and then Harry Samways.
All right,
a nifty little Harry bowler Samways, back in the day.
Good luck with that.
Jamie's making up the other overs when he used to be able to bowl. Basically, sort of taking what year?
When he was 11.
2015, Jamie. Yeah.
He used to have lovely little indeckers, didn't he?
He'd lean to one side and push him in.
Okay, so I've gone for... I haven't really put it in order, but I guess I can do. So I'll open the batting with... Kusev and Taplin.
Kusev, I forgot that.
And then I'll have Jamie at three, Aries at four. I've gone with Scott at five. Played a lot of under 16s and under 15s in Winchester. And Baz bringing up the rear.
The brush.
Yeah. Wow,
and then Jamie, Mikey are going to have to sort of make up the other three overs.
The thing about George, I remember George was exclusive Winchester, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
His contract.
Yeah. Not willing to travel.
Listeners, we're keen to know your top six
100%.
Indoor team that you may or may not have played with. So send them in, let us know, have a think. And we look forward to the responses.
And it's bagging.blues@gmail.com for all your emails. Yeah.
We look Given the amount of responses we had to previous questions, we could probably, you know, look at the teams that are sent in and who are the six most picked players and put together aside from that.
Might create some sort of poll, results, because it's going to be loads of them.
Right, without further ado, I've had enough of talking about indoor. Let's talk about cricket, outdoor, proper cricket, the new season, the fixtures are out. It's a great moment in the calendar. You know, they say the county championship fixtures is a good moment, but I prefer the Hampshire County Division 1 and 4 and 5, whatever league they're playing in.
Until you prep that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Lick. And so let's start off with the threes. Spear, you've got some thoughts on the threes schedule, should we say?
He loves the threes.
Yeah. So the McGees, they got promoted last year, I believe.
Yeah.
They did. So they're now into Div 5, Northwest. It's quite interesting because the Magoos are in Northeast. They're on a different side of the county. So the McGees, really, they're looking at the sort of, you know, Salisbury, New Forest, Andover sort of area. And looking at their fixture list, very interesting, right? And if you're an old Hampshire League badger, you'll love some of the grounds that you get to go to. So you got places like God's Hill and Bremer, which are in the New Forest, and proper old school New Forest grounds, tiny ones where, you know, you're not allowed to do anything on the outfield. You have to just let the horses graze. Sometimes stuff walks across the ground during the innings, things like that. That's really nice. They've got Wilton away, which I remember playing there. I'm pretty sure that there's no square there. There's just a grim, very grim AstroTurf. Very spicy, but grim AstroTurf. There's an unusual amount of first 11s in that league. So God knows what those teams are going to be comprised of. Teams like Great Durnford, Broadchalk, Penton, Overwallop, Didcot, Yateley, Hyde, Wilton. You know, what are these teams going to comprise of? And these little Hampshire villages, these little clubs, how are they still going? You know, who's running them? And very interesting to see what the composition of their teams will be. But I think the McGees got a lovely little fixture list. Obviously, Leckford at home is the home ground. And they're going to play at some fantastic little village grounds, which will be a great experience. If Blackie's in the McGees this year, he'll love that because, you know, he'll know his way to all those grounds and no one else will have a clue. So looking forward to following their progress again this summer.
You do love the McGees, don't you?
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the twos here and they start with an incredibly spicy game of Whitchurch at home.
Yeah, that's spice.
It's going to be spice, spice, spice. That's the thing on Tail Enders. I haven't listened to it for ages. There's quite a few of the, I think the teams in this league are all sort of places they've been to before. It's a bit disappointing. Liphook away, that's a nice ground. Some fucking long way, but nice ground. And then a lot of the teams that, unfortunately for them, they haven't really got the same sort of lucky schedule, if you like, of the McGees, in terms that they're playing a lot of the teams that they've played before in, and a lot of teams that I've been around them for quite a few years. I think I've played at almost all of these grounds. East Woodhay away, that's like the best batting wicket in Hampshire, I seem to remember.
Yeah,
that's a road. They got there, and they're there on the 2nd of July. It's unfortunate. It could be a hot day in the sun if they're batting, if they're bowling first. Really hope the Magoos do well this year. It's going to be interesting because they've obviously gone up a league as well. And from what we're hearing, with a couple of sort of personnel issues, it could be, well, they were hoping for promotion again. I'm obviously sure that still is the hope, but I wonder if they'll be able to pull that off. And I doubt they're as certain as they were at the, as Rory was at the awards evening when he said, yeah, we're going, definitely going to be promoted again next year.
Back to back.
Yeah.
Back to back.
Diesel, do you want to take us through one's schedule?
Well, I was just having a quick look. There's some pretty gross away games. Winton away.
Yeah.
Ride, although nice ground. Deal.
Done.
Bournemouth away, again, a long way. Parley at home, which I'm happy about.
Tom Trinder's wedding, same day.
The home Parley game.
Yeah. Hope it doesn't rain.
Might be a washout. Hope not. The first thing I look for when the fixtures come up, are we home or away on the last game of the season? And we're home. So that's positive. But yeah, rest of it looks pretty standard. Old Basing to start away. Be interesting to see how that goes. St. Cross at home. First time I think played St. Cross at home. Always seems to be at their place. But yeah, looks pretty standard. Harry, so you're...
Out of the, you know, which month would you be looking forward to the most out of those four?
June's all right, because Ryde, like Alton's not that bad, and Ryde has got potential to actually be a decent day out, I think.
We could have a great time over there. I like the look of July. Obviously, I'll be home, but...
Listeners, I hope you've got the fixtures up on your phone and looking at this while we're talking about it.
Let us know your favourite month. If you do, email in to...
Yeah. Continue to email in your favourite month.
No, Compton game I'm not here for.
So that's the thing, right? Titchbourne is an example where they could be fucking shit.
I thought Titchbourne was normally strong.
Yeah, but they lost like every game last year in the league above.
Okay.
They've always had this weird thing where their first team's been in the Prem, but their second team's been in like out with Al McGee's.
Right.
Yeah, it's
they've
very
had, like, good players, like, well, very good players. But, you know, as soon as a couple of those, so they could fall again. You see that sometimes, come down from the Prem, go down again.
Yeah.
Compton away is grim. The away games are grim. Old Basing is grim. Winton's grim. Compton's grim. Alton, that's grim. That's back-to-back pit. Hythe, Bournemouth's grim. Fareham. Apparently Fareham, I've never played there, but apparently Fareham's quite nice.
Right, now, thanks for that, Spear. You just had a go at half the teams we're going to be playing this year.
if you literally reversed that and went, right, Hursley Park away, nice. Eastern away, nice. Pitchbourne away, bloody nice. That's a really nice ground. Odium away, that's a beautiful ground. So there's a little bit of substance behind what I was saying.
Fair enough. Diesel, do you want to? I hear you've got a quiz prepared for us, a mastermind style quiz.
I have got a quiz prepared. It's a mastermind style quiz. So I asked the pair of you for a specialist subject, and you'll answer questions. You'll have 1 minute for your specialist subject, and then you'll take it in turns, and then you'll have another minute for questions that are just LC, Long Parish CC related. Could literally be anything. I was sort of scratching my brain.
Fair enough.
The questions. So they're some of them pretty niche, but I've tried to do it in a way that they're gettable
yeah.
for both of you. Okay.
So... email us in your specialist subjects, just so we know, because I like to know the listeners what they're going to be. What they, if they were on Mastermind, what would your specialist subject be? And your scores for the long parish round.
Also, if you want to add your name to the waiting list of guests, get it in there now.
Yeah, it is growing, that waiting list. So
bit of a backup there, yeah.
I think the next gap's, I think, middle of next season.
Yeah, 2023 sort of thing.
We might be able to squeeze you in.
So, yeah, while stocks last, book it in. Right, so Brinton, we'll start with you.
Okay.
Harry, would you be able to get 1 minute on the clock?
Yes, that I can do.
And would you also be able to count Brinton's correct answers?
That I can also do.
Give me so, Brinton, your specialist subject was the 2010/2011 Ashes series. Your time starts now. Alistair Cook, Matt Prior, and which other batsmen were dismissed by Peter Siddle during his hat-trick on his birthday?
Stuart Broad.
Correct. England hit 517 for one in their second innings at Brisbane. Who took the only wicket during that innings?
Marcus North.
Correct. Which England bowler took 5 wickets in Australia's second innings at Adelaide?
Graham Swan.
Correct. How many were Australia bowled out for on Boxing Day?
98.
Correct. Who top scored for Australia with 20 in their first innings in the fourth test at the MCG?
Mitchell Johnson.
Incorrect. It was Michael Clarke. Ricky Ponting was unable to play in the final match. Who captained Australia in the fifth test of the series? Correct. Which England player announced during the fifth test of the series that this would be his final test match for his
country? Paul Collingwood.
Correct. What was the final score of the 10/11 Ashes series?
3-1.
Correct. I've started, so I'll finish. Who was Australia's top run scorer during the series?
Michael Hussey.
Correct.
8.
Wow, that is knowledge.
That is
good. Good gear, that is, Brent.
I was impressing myself, not going to lie. Right, okay.
Okay, so Harry, your specialist subject was the 2005 Ashes series. Time starts now. Who was the leading run scorer for England in the 2005 Ashes?
Gavin Peterson.
Correct. Who became the first England player to take 20 wickets and hit 400 runs in an Ashes series?
Flintoff.
Correct. In which test did Ricky Ponting score 156?
Old Trafford, third test.
Correct. Which Australian was ruled out for the Edgbaston test after getting...
Ben McGrath.
Correct. What was England's narrow margin of victory at Edgbaston that helped them level the series?
3 runs?
Incorrect. It was 2 runs. Who famously ran out Ricky Ponting in the test at Trent Bridge?
Gary Pratt.
Correct. Who was Australia's leading run scorer in the series?
Hayden.
Incorrect. It was Justin Langer. Who made the highest individual score of 166 in the series?
Vaughan. Michael Vaughan.
Correct. Ashley Giles and which tailender were at the crease during England's win at Trent? Correct. Only 3 bowlers. I've started, so I'll finish. Only 3 bowlers took 20 or more wickets in the Ashes series of 2005. Shane Warne, Andrew Flintoff, and who?
Steve Harmison.
Incorrect. It was Brett Lee.
7.
Thank the Lord for that, because that was my last question.
7. Check that. Harmison didn't get 20 wickets.
Okay. So 8-7 as things stand, but obviously your scores are combined. So still all to play for. Right. So, Brinton, your questions regarding Long Parish Cricket Club.
Okay.
Okay. Your time, Brinton.
Yep.
Starts now. What did Harry score in that famous Sunday game against Merlin in 2014?
124.
Incorrect. It was 138. Who took a hat-trick in the same game?
Oh, question.
Pass.
Who won this year's Players' Player?
Callum Giles.
Incorrect. It was the GOAT. There are three runs between Barnold and Warnold's all-time batting record, but who is in the lead as things stand?
Barnold.
Correct. Who won last year's fantasy cricket?
Mikey.
Correct. Who is the second team's all-time leading wicket taker?
Oh, I literally know this. Pass.
Where did last season's golf day take place?
Blackford.
Correct. Who famously got man-catted in a game in the twos last year?
Rory Kerr. No. Oh.
Incorrect. It was Jamie Blackmore.
It was Jamie Blackmore.
How many was that, Harry?
Four.
Add on to your eight. You're on 12, Brent.
12.
Still very much all to play for.
Who did get the hat trick?
Oh, the ones you passed.
Yeah.
The person who took the hat trick in the same game. That was Justin Jackman.
Justin Jackman.
Yeah. Justin
Jackman.
Falling off spin.
Who were these Merlin people?
Good side, man. Good outfit.
And the second team all-time leading wicket taker is Martin Savage.
Oh, I fucking knew that.
Don't forget Merlin scored 250 plus.
250 plus.
To set up the run chase.
That's a bit right then. Right, okay, I'm ready on the clock.
Okay, Spear, coming to you.
Yeah, ready.
So your time, Spear.
Yep.
Starts now. Which team did Wilder Kaynard score 239 against?
Basingstoke.
Correct. If you go onto averages on the website and go combined all time, who tops the averages with 78?
Ed Pass.
Incorrect. At what ground is that famous Alex Cootsie photo taken?
Lock team. No, Burridge.
In what year did records begin on the LCC website?
2010.
Correct. Who top scored in last year's fantasy cricket with 809 points?
Mike Taplin.
Incorrect. Geordie Blackmore. During the COVID-19 season, which first teamer left a game early to go and brave Tesco?
Mike Taplin.
Correct. What did Brint Dog average with a bat in the first team last year?
40.
Incorrect. It was Infinity. Which team did Jack Levy join from in 2017? Lockteeth is correct. So that was four as well, was it, Brim?
Yeah.
I didn't get the Burridge. You're not giving me the Burridge, were you?
Who did you actually say first?
I said Lockteeth because I was thinking about the six that he got hit for. Like, I was thinking, what's the ground, you know, because that gets talked about a lot. But Burridge is the one where the photo was taken.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's what happens when there's time pressure.
Yeah.
Shit. Good question.
Yeah, well done, Diesel. I think that is, boys, all we've got time for, isn't it, from this episode?
Yeah.
Anything else you boys want to bring up?
Well, I just want to say good luck to all three teams. Another season will come and go in the blink of an eye. You know, enjoy your cricket, play with a smile on your face, and I'm looking forward to nothing more than getting back there, playing the game, getting into the cricks on a nice hot summer night, enjoying a few pints with everyone.
And I just want to congratulate both Areas and Levers.
Well done, boys.
For a couple of new future Baggy Blues. And that also means, I mean, we spoke about Ben scoring dad runs.
Yeah.
That means Justin this year is going to be scoring granddad runs, which are worth triple, which will be great to see. So congratulations to the pair of them.
And it's going to be a hell of an academy in about 10 years' time. You know, Sam Trinder's kids, Ben's kids, Jack's kids, Arias' kids.
Yeah.
So fear not, you know, a couple of difficult years ahead, but fear not for the future.
Future's bright.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's a bit of a shorter episode this time. So it's just this will be just to wet the whistle for you boys, you listeners. I know you love our content always, so whatever we put out, you'll appreciate it. But, you know, this is just a little teaser of what we're going to be bringing throughout the season. And you may hear from us fairly soon with another little mini pod. So until then, keep just netting, really. Get ready for the season. Knock in your bat, all that sort of stuff. And can't wait to see you whenever the first preseason friendly is. Probably a couple of weeks, isn't it, Diesel?
23rd of April.
Yeah, a couple of weeks.
A few weeks, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, right. Just lastly, to all our listeners in Germany, Guten Morgen.
Oh, yeah. The 100 list, I don't know how many it is, I'll have to check, but a lot of our listeners are coming from Germany. So, Guten Tag, Guten Morgen, Auf Wiedersehen. Thanks for listening, everyone. Whether you're in England in Long Parish or whether you're in Berlin, keep listening.